from the number one sports site in the world.
Yahoo!
This is Yahoo Sports Radio.
YahooSportsRadio.com.
It's the weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio at YahooSportsRadio.com. And you know us sports fans? Yeah, we like other things other than sports. Like cars and automotive stuff. Welcome to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing, now on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Let's put the key in the ignition, shall we? And fire up the engines.
From the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
Well, good morning. Welcome in. Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Matt Perrault with you. How are you, Mr. Herzing?
I'm doing great, big guy. And we got
exciting.
A lot of stuff going on today. It's going to be a great show.
Week. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk to Tom Smith from Valvoline. He is going to help us talk a little bit about what's going on with some new products for Valvoline. What's your oil looking like as changing seasons around the country? So obviously oil becoming a big question mark. And we'll get into what you should and should not be doing with your oil. And then we're going to talk to the product manager for Fiat. They've got a brand new, really hot convertible.
Oh, the new 124 is awesome.
Yeah, the new vehicle for Fiat that they're really, really excited about. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then, as always, the questions you guys pose to one Mr. Mike Herzing. But as we do each and every week, both Mike and I get a chance to drive some really cool vehicles.
I want to hear what
I'll go first.
Yeah, I want to hear what you've been driving.
Tell you what, I was driving, and there have been cars that I have had a tough time giving back. And this might have been the number one car where I had a really tough time giving it back. The 2016 Kia Sorento 3.3 liter SLXL all-wheel drive SUV.
Oh yeah.
Was
pretty nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, awesome. This thing had everything that for me, who is a married guy with a daughter, from a engine standpoint where you know, it had a 3.3 liter V6 from a gas mile perspective, pretty much 20 miles a gallon, a ride, which was beautiful. The parking assist is, look, I haven't driven as many cars as you have, Mike, but in terms of the last year of me driving these vehicles, the new on the market, Kia's parking assist with the bird's eye view and either side being able to look directly on either side of your vehicle to see where you're lining up when you're parking in tight parking garages like I do here in Las Vegas, absolutely awesome.
Yeah, it's really necessary, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, especially because the car is pretty large. I mean, it's so roomy. It's got I love the fact that the back seats on these things have actual – you can adjust the back seat up and down, meaning like if you want to lean back a little bit, you can lean it back a little bit. If you're someone like me with a car seat, it makes it really easy to get a car seat in and out of the vehicle. So smooth, so luxurious. Honest to gosh, I mean, throw the brand name away. If you didn't know – I mean, if I had gotten in this car and driven it, I would have had no idea the luxurious items that Kia has placed into their cars. Top of the line. I mean, literally across the board. Now, obviously, if you're going to have a car like this, the MSRP is going to be high. This thing's retailing at $43,000, okay? So you don't have to get the car at $43,000. But if you're going to get into the SUV market and you're looking at other comparable vehicles, I mean, this thing, to me, was like a $60,000 car. And it's coming in way below that, around $40,000. And I mean, the horsepower, 290 horsepower, it pushed. It's got the Kia. I really liked what Kia has done with their technology package. It's really easy to use. It's really simplistic. You've got everything that you would want. You've got your Bluetooth. You've got your satellite radio. You've got your, you know, normal radio. You've got a lot of talk features for automatic driving, hands-free type stuff that makes it really nice. The leather is really soft and really supple and really makes you feel like you're in a really nice, nice vehicle.
Yeah.
I was completely and totally blown away by the vehicle. The back of the vehicle, and it's not like it's giving up a lot of space in terms of the back seat, but the capacity to tow and the capacity to haul, there is just so much space and there is so much power on this vehicle. If you're going to buy an SUV, and I don't say this all that often, but if you're going to buy an SUV in 2016, you got to at least drive the Kia Sorento. And if you can get it fully loaded, and if you're in an all-wheel drive climate or an all-wheel drive area where you might want that, like I am, it has as much grip, power, and security as you would ever want. I can't recommend that car enough, Mike. I loved it.
Yeah, I know. I know you've been kind of oohing and aahing about it all week.
Love it. And I
knew you were going to be gushing over it, and you should. It's a great vehicle.
What did you drive this week?
Well, I had a 2016 Lexus RX 450H, and I liked it. And I'm not a huge Lexus fan. Okay, I haven't been in the past, but I'm liking them now. Mm. Okay, before they were kind of boring to drive. Always been a great car. Always been a good car. But they were always a little bit boring and mundane to drive, and now they're not. They're fun. And they look great, okay? They have really redesigned them. And the one I had is the 450H, which is the hybrid, okay? You can get them in the RX 350, but I've got the 450. And what they've done, you know, this thing started out in 1998, always been a killer seller for these guys. They just sell the bejesus out of this thing. But they've got a new spindle design front grille, and they've also got it in the rear. New, these neat-looking LED rear lights. They've got the front end looking great. This thing looks sexy day or night, right? Kind of a floating roof effect with the C-pillars that are blacked out and everything. It looks hot. It looks sexy.
Hmm.
All right, I can tell you that. And they've got all these cool colors, exterior colors that are caviar, autumn shimmer, nightfall mica, you know, all this kind of stuff. And the interiors, that, how about the new paint is outside is scratch-resistant, self-restoring coat of paint, all that kind of stuff. Mocha wood on the inside, matte linear and interior, dark mocha wood is the color of the interior of mine. It was white on the side. They've got a touch-free rear door. You can just kind of wave your hand by the Lexus emblem, the rear door opens up. Gorgeous interior, you know, heated and cooled seats. The rear seats would be heated if you wanted them and stuff. It's got a Mark Levinson audio system that will, like, if you really crank it up, I think blood will run out of your ears. It's awesome, you know, acoustic glass. Just an unbelievably nice car. But this one is also the hybrid. So it has not only a V6, little V6 engine that runs really well. Between the hybrid engine, Synergy Drive, and the V6, it has 308 horsepower. But it gets killer fuel economy. I was getting, you know, in the 30s. I look at it and it has like 400 and something miles till empty. I'm like, okay, I'm getting killer fuel economy. If you put it in sport, eco, or EV mode, it'll run around the neighborhood in electric mode, quiet. You know, you can sneak up on the cats and squirrels and things like that. They have to jump out of your way. It's a cool car. It really is fun. It's super comfortable, great on the highway, very quiet. It's got, like I said, it's got all the electronic stuff. It'll steer. It'll keep you in the lane. You can shut your eyes. I wouldn't recommend it, but it'll keep you in the lane. It'll cruise control. If somebody in front of you stops, it'll slam on the brakes for you. It'll coach you to a stop if they do. It has sway alarm. It's got intuitive parking assist, panoramic mirrors, lane departure, radar cruise control. If you back up, it'll tell you if somebody behind you. It does everything. It practically drives for you. It's a great car. That's the cool thing. The not cool thing, it's $64,000. Mm. But for the people that buy these things, you got to buy it. Mm. It's a wonderful car. That's why it's probably the number one in the market for this. You know, I guess it would be called a midsize to compact. I guess it would probably be a midsize CUV. You know, it's all-wheel drive, on demand. It's everything you would want. This thing is really cool. But not only that, every time you brake, it charges the battery. It's a great car. But
I mean, it really is amazing how in that category,
yeah,
that's the vehicle. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
there's been very few cars in my lifetime. I think back to when the first SUVs came out, and the Grand Cherokees were there.
Yeah.
And basically everybody who was driving in that category had Grand Cherokees. And now it's pretty much that Lexus CUV is everywhere.
It's a different market for the Grand Cherokee. That's an issue.
Right.
This is more of a CUV. This is a little bit more comfortable ride, a little bit more refined, everything else. The Grand Cherokee is what you take off-roading.
I just mean in terms of like when it first came out, in terms of like if you were buying, if you were in the market in this category, this is the car you're buying.
This is a nice car. It really is. You know, it's going to compete against a BMW. I'd much rather have this than the BMW or some of the Audis. This is a great car. This isn't going to break down. And the dealers do such a great job. It's pretty hard to beat. If you're looking for a car like this, the Lexus RX is really, it not only does redefine the segment, it defines the segment.
Very, very
great
cool.
Car.
All right, we got lots more to come here on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio. We'll talk a little oil with the representative from Valvoline coming up next. And then a rep from Fiat, the brand manager, will come on the program as we'll break down a brand new Fiat coming to the market in June, which if you like a Fiat, if you like that brand, you're really going to be excited about this new car hitting the market coming up this summer. More to come. Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Wrong Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Perrault.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Coming up, we'll talk to a brand manager from Fiat about a brand new car coming in 2016 that you're going to want to hear about. So stay tuned for that. But right now, let's go to the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line from Valvoline. Tom Smith joining Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. Tom, Matt, and Mike, how are you?
Hi, Matt. Hi, Mike. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, Tom. How are everything in Kentucky this Saturday morning?
Oh, it's wonderful here in Lexington, Kentucky. The sun is shining. The horses are running. It's just wonderful.
Life is good. All right, Tom, I called you the other day because I was going to ask you about my my little SUV with 38,000 miles. I wanted to know the best oil, and you and I were talking about it, and you were saying the high-mileage Valvoline. And,
yeah,
and I was
like, I like to use in my vehicle our Max Life engine oil, and it's got lots of wonderful things that are great for high-mileage cars, but they also benefit newer vehicles. In fact, we developed our Max Life, and when General Motors brought out their Dexo specification, lo and behold, the things we did to help your high-mileage engine actually made it so that we could meet the new Dexo specification.
Okay, now a high-mileage engine has a lot of things. You know, they have the wear around the rings, they have the seals that are a little bit weepy and gaskets that are weepy and things like that. You know, it gets old, right? We all have our old you know, idiosyncrasies like engines do, right?
And yeah, so when Valvoline first developed our Max Life engine oil, what we did was we actually went out and bought some old engines and tore them down and looked at them and tried to determine what issues they're really having. And some of the things we did find are exactly what you said. So what we did is we formulated our oils. We increased the amount of anti-wear component in it. We added additional cleaning agents to it, and one of the important things we added to it was a seal conditioner. This is a chemical in the oil that helps bring seals more to a like new condition. So if the seals have shrunk and got more brittle, they'll swell up a bit and they'll soften up a bit and be able to do their job.
Okay, so it doesn't hurt to put that, like you said, even in a new vehicle. And I was like, wow, I never thought of that.
Yeah, all those things that we do, the extra cleaning agents, the extra anti-wear additives, and we also have some more antioxidants in it, all those actually help in a new engine just as effectively as they do in a high-mileage engine.
Okay. Now, but it's not – so this vehicle, though, this oil is not a synthetic blend, though, is it?
The Max Life is a synthetic blend.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And we do have our Valvoline full synthetic with Max Life technology, which is a full synthetic high mileage oil.
Oh, so you have both. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So wow, that'd even be better. But this thing seems to be fine. I mean, I've used this oil before in my higher mileage vehicles, but I'd never put it in a low mileage vehicle. But I am from now on. It's going to be my new oil.
And this I've been using it in my my vehicles when I buy them new ever since we first brought the product out.
Wow. Now, you know, I remember somebody told me the other day that some vehicles have break-in oil. Did the car manufacturers still use break-in oil?
No. Most vehicles now, the engines are designed and they're built such that you really don't need a break-in oil. Now, if you're looking at a race engine, that's a different story. We make special break-in oils for racing engines. But for the everyday consumer, for the vehicles that we buy, no, you don't need a break-in oil.
What was break-in oil anyway? Just something, a real thin oil that somebody put in a brand new engine that cars
well,
in the old days?
Generally, they had a high level of the zinc phosphorus anti-wear additive.
Oh, okay.
And so you tried to get somewhere going, but gradual wear until the engine, really was broken in till get all the rough edges off the metal pieces and things like that. But nowadays, they machine them so finely that it just isn't needed.
Ah, okay. Now, I have another question. We've got, you know, a lot of people are getting these things that are these engines that are 5W20. And then I see these other cars that are said, car companies are going, well, you can either put 0W20 in it or 5W20. Does it really make a difference if you're in a climate like Texas, for example?
Yes, it does. The engines are designed to run on these lighter oils.
Mm-hmm.
The motivation for the car makers is really fuel economy. So they design these engines to run on light oils to give them better fuel efficiency, so you're not spending as much money on fuel.
Okay.
But one of the things with these, being that they're designed for those light oils, if you put a heavy oil in it, the engine actually has to work a lot more to get that oil to circulate through the engine.
Right.
And your engine actually ends up running hotter because it's doing a lot more work just circulating the oil.
Okay. So if your owner's manual says either 5W20 or 0W20, you're better off running the zero?
Well, if it says either one, it doesn't make a great deal of difference. If you're in a northern climate, you may want to run the zero Ws where it really gets cold. But it's more important is the 20 there than the zero W or the 5W part of the number.
Definitely don't want to go in.
The 20 refers to the high temperature viscosity. The zero W and 5W refer to the low temperature viscosity. So a 0W20 and a 5W20 have very similar viscosities at high temperatures.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to somebody the other day. He was trying to run a 20/50 in his vehicle. I said, don't do that.
Yeah,
because I've always done that.
Put a 20W50 in there because that's going to be very, very heavy. And as I say, the engine will actually end up running a lot hotter.
Right.
So it puts a lot more strain on the oil itself and on the engine.
I could almost detect a knock on it. I was like, no, you don't want to do this. This is not good for your engine. I think you could probably even do a little damage on it nowadays,
ultimately you could just because you're going to end up oxidizing the oil because the oil's running a lot hotter, so you're going to get more buildup of deposits and things in the engine, and that's never good for it. That can contribute to things like ring sticking and spark plug fouling and all sorts of things.
Good. So
we're talking with Tom Smith from Valvoline here on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing and Yahoo Sports Radio. Got about a minute or so left, Tom. And I guess from a novice standpoint, if you could give advice to someone when it comes to oil, what's the biggest mistake that the average person makes when it comes to the oil in their cars?
I think there's a couple mistakes that consumers make. Some consumers don't change their oil regularly, and that is a very important thing. When you stretch out an oil drain, you're putting a lot more strain on the oil, and you're getting more buildup of deposits and a greater wear rate. The other thing that I think that people don't do, and I think this is quite common with some of us older car drivers who are used to heavier oils, we don't go to the lighter oils that the newer engines call for.
Just follow your owner's manual, right?
Great stuff. Tom, is there a website that people could go and get some more information on Valvoline products?
Yes, there certainly is. There's Valvoline.com. And actually, if you go to our latest website, TeamValvoline.com, that's team.valvoline.com, then there's some very exciting videos you can see there. We've got we're sponsors of the Hendrick race team. We develop all the racing oils for Hendrick, and there's some great videos there with the drivers.
Great stuff. Tom Smith from Valvoline joins on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Tom, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks very much. As always, I enjoy it.
Thanks, Tom.
Coming up next, a conversation about a new Fiat product hitting the market when Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing returns here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Round Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Perrault.
It is Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. Matt Perrault with you here on a Saturday. And we get a treat here. We get a real treat here. We get to talk a little bit about a brand new Fiat, the 2017 Fiat 124 Spider coming out. This is arriving this summer. Bob Broderdorf, the director of Fiat Brand North America, joining us on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Bob, Matt, and Mike, how are you?
Hey, we're doing real good. How are you guys today?
We are fantastic. Yeah. So let's jump right into it. How excited are you guys about rolling out this new vehicle?
We couldn't be more excited, to be perfectly honest with you. Right, I mean, how often do you get a chance to introduce a rear-wheel drive two-seater convertible in the marketplace? So for us, this is an absolute blast. Great car to work on.
Well, yeah, buddy. I mean, you guys, I mean, I remember when those things were out in the old days, and that was, you know, if you could get one right now, it's awesome. They handle great. They're the epitome of the Italian sports car.
Yeah, the history of this car that you mentioned, absolutely fantastic. It's almost got a bit of a cult following. There's still 8,000 cars registered in the United States from that era, that late 60s into that mid-1985 era, and still today is one of the questions and cars that we are most often asked about. So the heritage of the car, the enthusiasts that rally around the car, it's a lot of fun, and it's a real treat to reproduce a car that pays homage to such a classic.
You know, Bob, I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts, and my stepfather has idolized the Fiat brand for a very long time. He's owned multiple convertibles. I think his latest one was a late 80s model that he had fixed up, and we had it around the house for many, many years, and I actually got a chance to learn how to drive stick on it, and it's a phenomenal brand. How do you guys balance the history of the brand when you're bringing it into the modern age and adding all of the modern-day technology and luxuries that consumers are expecting?
Yeah, so that's a great point, and that's something that we constantly make sure that we pay attention to. So to be Fiat, I mean, one of the first and foremost important purchase reasons is that Italian heritage and design that the cars are known for. But second, the cars have to be fun to drive, and that's overwhelmingly one of the top purchase reasons. So if you can take care of the Italian design, make sure it remains functional, but still do it in a fun, energetic way, and then still wrap all of today's luxury technology items in a contemporary manner, you can produce a modern-day Fiat. So it's incredibly important that we do that for all of our Fiat enthusiasts.
Well, yeah, you know, my best friend in high school had a 124 Sport, and it was great. Of course, back then, he was like third owner, and it was pretty beat. So we would, like, work on it on the weekend and drive it during the week, and then we'd have to work on it during the weekend and drive it during the week. And it was great. It was a great car, and, wow, we had some great memories.
We're talking to Bob Broderdorf, director of Fiat Brand North America here on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. So, Bob, for some specs here for people who are looking at this vehicle for the 2017 Fiat 124 Spider, what are we looking at for an engine? What are we looking at for a size of this vehicle?
Yeah, so the overall performance of the vehicle, the size of the vehicle, you're looking at a car that's going to be around 2,400 pounds, and that's going to have a 1.4-liter multi-air turbo engine that's going to deliver 160 horsepower and 184 pound-feet of torque. So that is a unique combination to get such a lightweight platform in a standard turbocharged vehicle that will offer an incredibly dynamic experience, which really is that fun-to-drive aspect that the car is known for.
Just in terms of your target audience, who do you think you guys will be targeting from a demographic standpoint?
So actually, for Fiat, we get a couple of unique things. So first, we've got the enthusiasts that are familiar with Fiat, tend to be a little bit older. They've been to Europe. They've seen how powerful the Fiat brand is, as well as people that are enthusiasts for Spider that may remember the original vehicles that you noticed as well. Now, also, Fiat gets an incredibly young demographic. Our customers are 5 years younger than the industry average. So we really kind of have a split role where I think you're going to get some of those fun new customers that we've brought into the marketplace that are learning Fiat for the very first time, as well as some people that are a little more familiar with the auto industry, familiar with just how big Fiat is in Europe. And essentially, we'll get really the best of both worlds is what I think Spider is going to appeal to. Not to mention, we've got really sort of a modern Classica and Lusso trim levels that are pertaining to that more luxurious experience. And then we've got the Abarth, which is truly more of our performance roadster that'll offer a more dynamic experience. So we'll get customers in each of those areas, and I think it's going to be fun to see really who shows up to our shows.
Mm. Well, Bob, what do you? How many of these things are going to be at the dealerships? What kind of volume do you expect?
Well, we really don't put a number on, to be perfectly honest. We plan on building one for everybody who wants one. So we're excited to get this thing ramped up, and being a global car, we've got lots of opportunity.
Hmm. Bob Broderdorf, director of Fiat Brand North America, joining us on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Matt Perot with you. I think what's interesting, Bob, is you mentioned that your demographic is younger. Is that also because you guys are seeing a lot of purchases from people in the city? Because I know I've got friends who live in New York who absolutely love Fiats because of the size and the convenience and just how much fun it is to drive without having to worry about being in a very large vehicle when it comes to parking spaces or it comes to just getting around the city. Is that what you're seeing also from a demographic standpoint?
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the driving factor is that we tend to see, particularly in your city or urban markets, where people want sort of this new trendy type thing and really a different sort of interpretation on what maybe is going on in the United States always. And now that we've got a standpoint to have small, efficient cars that maximize interior space and practicality at a great price point, we really get this unique buyer. And then some of the older clientele that I mentioned that we're familiar with Fiat. But that's really the driving force behind sort of our new conquesting of customers that we're finding for Fiat.
I could just see people taking the Abarth exhaust and adding it to it and then tweaking just this thing already. I know there's some Abarth parts for those things for some of the other models from the multi-air engine. I can just imagine what people are going to do with this thing.
Yeah, the Abarth exhaust might be one of the single most enjoyable sensory experiences you can have in a car. We get asked about that exhaust note to an incredible degree, and the amount of attention to detail we put into this exhaust note was something I can promise your engineering team did an incredible amount of work to achieve. And that exhaust, that just that roar, that snarl that Abarth is known for is something that you can find on this vehicle.
Yeah. Bob, I kind of hear it in your voice, but I'm curious from a going to work standpoint, how much fun are you guys having at Fiat going to work, given that you're rolling out these new products and you guys really seem to be proud of what you're producing?
Yeah, look, for me being a car enthusiast and growing up in the Detroit area, there isn't a better job I could possibly have. And when you get a chance to bring new iconic cars to the marketplace that you firsthand had an opportunity to build and be a part of the strategy behind them and then watch Americans drive off in those cars, there is no greater experience. So this team's having more fun than it's ever had, whether it's in the Fiat group or at FCA for that matter.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when you go to the parking garage there in that big circle around there, and you go see take my buddy Jimmy Morrison, and he'll come up with Jeeps, and now he's driving Rams. He'll be in a dually. Or the guys in the Jeep brand, and then you see the Fiat folks, and then the Chrysler guys, and all the guys will be there in the SRTs and stuff. It's just, it's like, wait a minute. And these guys are getting paid for doing this. It almost, there ought to be some rules against this.
Yeah, it's fun to work for a company that's making car guys for car guys run by car guys. So it's a blast to be. If you're into this stuff at all, it couldn't be a better place to be around.
Yeah, no suit and ties. They're all wearing golf shirts and slacks and stuff. They're having a good time. I tell you what, this is great. Hey, now I'll tell you what. Now there is a website where they can see and probably knowing you guys hear the exhaust note of this car. Where is this at?
So right now on YouTube, we've got postings out there. People are already waiting to hear it. But we're actually, the car will land in June. So that's maybe the top question that we've had out there is they're looking for that first ride and drive from the press release that we're doing here shortly. So that iconic exhaust note will be right around the corner firsthand for people to drive.
He is Bob Broderdorf. He's the director of Fiat Brand North America. The all-new 2017 Fiat 124 Spider arriving in June. You heard Bob say it himself. You can check it out on YouTube. Is there a website, too, Bob, people can go to?
Yeah, the absolute best place to go is www.fiatusa.com. We've got an employer page dedicated to all of our Fiat lineup, everything from 500X to the hatchback, as well as the 124 Spider.
Bob, thank you for the time. Really appreciate it.
You bet.
Guys, thank you so much for having me, and have a great day.
More to come. It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Round Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Perrault.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. It was fun talking a little bit about that new Fiat coming down the market, June. That should be pretty exciting. It's time, Mike, for our question and answer segment, where the great listeners of Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing gets to pose some questions for their cars, with their cars, to you. Let's start it off with Bart. He's got a problem with a 2005 Camry. The AC is going. He was told that it was low on Freon. He went to the parts store, got Freon, got the kit, added it to the system. He added Freon twice, it still is not working. What's the deal here? Hot weather is coming.
Well, a lot of times the car will be a little bit low on refrigerant, okay? And Freon is a brand name, kind of like Kleenex. It's not tissue, you know what I mean? And so if you add refrigerant and you add a little bit too much, it won't cool. And if you don't add enough, it won't cool. So what technicians are having to do nowadays, because it's such a low-volume system, back in the old days when they held 3 or 4 pounds, you'd add, you know, it'd be a pound low, like 12 ounces low, and you'd add 4 or 5 ounces, and it'd start cooling, and you add another ounce or two, and it'd help. Nowadays, they're so critical. If that's an ounce or two low or an ounce or two overfilled, it won't cool, okay? And so they're very critical. So what you have to do is actually we fill them up by weight. So if it holds, I had seen cars that only hold less than a pound of refrigerant, especially imports, smaller cars. And some of the Hondas and stuff, they don't even hold 16 ounces of refrigerant. They hold like 14 ounces or so. So what you'll do is we evacuate it. We pull all the refrigerant out, and we hold a vacuum on it and get all the moisture out. And then we'll charge it up and put the right amount of oil back in. And then we charge just the right amount of refrigerant and cool just great. But if you're using the gauges and stuff, doesn't always work as good as it used to. So it's very pain in the butt nowadays. You know, the days of having just a set of gauges and everything to work on your AC are a little bit harder than the old days. So you might want to have the gentleman take it to an AC guy and have him evacuate it. He most likely has overcharged it.
Interesting.
And then you vent the stuff to the atmosphere, it's not really a good thing to the atmosphere.
True. So. All right. Jeremy is asking, she's very tired of driving old cars.
Yeah.
So she is looking into buying a new car, but she wants to spend less than $14,000, Mike.
Yep.
She's wondering, would you recommend a Chevy, a Kia, a Nissan, or something else? What do you think? Bang for your buck, new car.
Nissan Versa Note. It's a cool little hatchback. You can get them for around 14. They're 13, 14. They're a nice little car. Really are. And now the Nissan Versa sedan is even less. It's around 11, I think, we're there. 11 or 12, you know, brand new. It's pretty hard to beat.
Yeah.
You know, but you can get the hatchback, which is a pretty little car. I've seen some places, you'll see them you'll use them for taxis. And which is a little brutal, but that's a great car. And then some of the, you know, the Chevy Spark or the Chevy Sonic isn't bad. You know, as long as they don't turn into robots, they're okay, you know.
So yeah, it's interesting too, Mike, because those are cars that have tremendous gas mileage too. So
yeah, you get. And around town, they're great. They're not the greatest on the highway, but that's not their forte.
Right. No, very, very, very true. Okay, Timmy's out wants to know. He's got a 2003 Honda Pilot with 124,000 miles. His daughter backed into a pole. Whoops. Body shop had to replace the lights in the back. Now she hits the brakes. All of the side and parking lights come on. The body shop says, not their fault. Yeah. Any idea what happened?
Somewhere, it could even be as simple as a bad bulb. Somewhere, the brake light circuit is energizing, is touching the wire. The brake light bulb is touching the park light circuit. And so whenever you hit the brake lights, it's sending the current over to the park light circuit. So first thing to look at is the bulb. I had a bulb, had it happen when I was a young technician, and I spent half of a day trying to trace down a circuit problem, and an old school technician, old mechanic came over and said, take out the bulb, son, it's got a bad bulb. Sure enough, I looked at the bulb, and then the little solder had melted on the, and it's what happens every time somebody hit the brake lights. It just went over there and sent the power all the way to the park lights. And it was kind of funny. He fixed it in about 20 seconds. Wow. And I had spent half a day trying to trace down the problem. And most likely it's a bulb. Isn't that weird?
Very weird.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here and we got time for one more question, this comes from Jean. This is a great question for, I think, a lot of people. She has an Acura RDX. She wants to know the difference between required premium fuel and recommended premium fuel.
That's a great question. Required means you need to run it or it's going to could cause damage to the engine. The engine designed to run premium fuel, that higher octane could cause engine damage. Recommended means, hey, it makes it run better. It's a lot more fun. That's what the car came with. Hey, it's better for it. You get maybe even get better fuel economy to run premium fuel. Okay. But you don't have to. It's not going to hurt anything. That's the difference.
It is interesting because that's a one word that makes a pretty big difference.
Big difference. Yeah, big difference. I had some people that buy some of the Acuras that were, you know, and all of a sudden they're going, wait a minute, I didn't want to have to buy premium all the time. And they're going, yeah, you could damage the engine. And, yeah, that kind of stinks.
So that's a pretty big question, right? It's a pretty big thing to look at, in particular if you're getting into the sports car angle, getting into the performance car angle to make sure that you really take a hard, long look at what that word is.
Yep. Because what happens is when you have the better fuel, the engine computer gets to advance the timing a little bit. Hey, it runs a little bit spunkier, and it's just, hey, it's quicker, and it's more fun to drive. Great, cool. And then when you put, you know, regular fuel in it, it kind of goes, it kind of slows everything down. It's not quite as... doesn't perform as well, but hey, it's cheaper to drive.
So, interesting.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, that's going to do it for Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. And remember, if you go to the podcast page, it's called podcastarena.com. You will then locate Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. You'll find all the information, all the interviews, all the audio you could ever want from this very program. Mike, your email address is?
It's letstalkwheels.com. It's mike@letstalkwheels.com, where you can always go letstalkwheels.com and find the button right there and listen to the show.
Very nice. Until next week, everybody. Talk to you later. Matt Peralt, Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio.